Okay, we're here with Dr. Paul Roth and David Lauderdale with Brian Tolley, our executive editor, and Rick Brunsred, our projects editor. And we were talking about the vote on makeup days from the school board meeting last night.
Yes. It's very complicated. And Dr. Moss, you know, has it nailed down. He knows exactly what the problems are. And it's getting... It's not the days, it's the number of hours that the seniors need to graduate. And you can't shift hours we have makeup days for the second semester, but you can't move them forward. So we've used up all our making days and we have to find the hours. I think the general consensus that I felt that we should go with the principals and the teachers because they're our employees. And if they're not happy, things can go wrong. Let's put it that way. So, management. So, I felt four was probably right, but they like three. But it's not done yet because they've asked him to come back with some more information, some more input from the staff.
Okay.
So it's not, as far as I know, it's not finalized.
Is that in any way a symbol of a divide on the board? Was it group versus group on the board?
The Attorney General of the state has described the Board of Education as a deliberative body. We are a deliberative body, and deliberative bodies deliberate, and they don't agree all the time. That doesn't mean things are wrong, because the state legislature disagrees on a lot of things all the time, too. So people have different opinions. So I would not call it a divide. It was just a difference of opinions as to what was the most relevant issue. My feeling is that go with the teachers and go with the principal. So I guess... David Streibinger, under the condition four, wanted a guarantee that any kid that didn't fit into the mold will be taken care of. And the principal's committed to that. He said, is that a guarantee? He says, yes, that's a guarantee. So they voted for three. And I said, David, there goes your guarantee. So anyway, they're still thinking about it.
Okay.
Hey, what are you most proud of for your time on the board?
Well, you know, my skills are management. Now, a lot of people don't know what management means. Management means some guy sitting in an office, shuffling papers from A to B. But management is having the vision, having a real vision, not a vision of... There's a lot of people write a vision that's very broad, and no matter what happens, it fits into that vision. You know, my vision is very specific as to where we want to go. And when I ran for the board, I said there were two things. We have to reorganize the way the board operates because the way it operates, it'll probably never get it right. You know, Fred Washington is a terrific guy, but they were sitting as a committee of the whole under Robert's rules, and so he controlled the agenda. And even if Truesdale, who I thought was quite capable, I think probably had a vision. Fred didn't, or didn't see it that way, and so nothing much happened. They tried some experimental work with computers. They put some laptops in Buford High School, but as Rick Caprell said, nothing. It went nowhere. All the teachers up there have to like it. My view of my vision, if you will, was that the board had to be reorganized from a committee of a whole to a committee system. You know, so when Donald Trump says, make America great again, what the hell does that mean? As a manager, you find yourself in a situation where you feel that something has to be done and you have a general idea of where to start, but until you get into it, you don't see the last step. I felt that the first step was to go into a committee system. Instead of meeting twice a month because of the committees, board members found themselves meeting twice a week because they all went to committees. I had a big argument with Bill Evans, who I felt was used to be principal of Hilton High School, and the principal of the high school is the lord of his domain. I mean, he's like he's the bird colonel, and what he says goes. And he didn't understand that on the board, that's not the case. We all individually elected. He has no authority other than on the Robert's Rules to run the meetings and set up the committees. But he got into a lot of other stuff that I disagreed with. And so he and I disagreed on a number of occasions. For example, we get paid $50 for every meeting we go to. We set up the committees. The committee members would get paid. It would be nice if other people showed up, got involved, but they weren't going to get paid. and I said, Bill, that's a bad idea. You say, well, it's $50. Some people go poo-poo. But he says, I'll take it under advisement. And that's what he always told me. Whenever I gave him an idea, he would take it under advisement. And then about 2 months later, he would say, I think we'll pay everybody to show up at the meetings. And all of a sudden, everybody showed up. At all the meetings. It was a board meeting there was a quorum almost at every meeting, except it was not recognized as a quorum because not everybody could vote. Only the five people assigned to the committee could vote.
So you had a couple of things for your vision. One was reorganize it to committees, which we do have.
We do have. The second one was technology. I was there when the first computers arrived back in the late 50s. I was in the advertising business, and the magic machine arrived. It was a card sorter. It replaced monkeys. The monkeys were out of a job because of the card sorter. And they got bigger and faster. The big change was RAM, random access memory. Because if you wanted to really get it, because we had a lot of big databases in those days, but in order to get anything out of it, you had to run it again and again and again until you narrowed it down to where you were. I applied regression analysis. I went back to school, by the way. When I graduated from Harvard Business School, we rubbed two sticks together. Slide rule to create magic numbers. Regression analysis is a very complex process, and I was using it to forecast the next season's network performance, you know, because you have 7 days a week, 3.5 hours each night, three networks, so everything's in a box there, and we had Nielsen data, we also had attitudinal data, TVQ, we had other databases that we pioneered the use of evaluating new shows by just showing people who's on it. David Lauderdale starting with this guy, two crazy guys in Greenwich Village. I mean, and we pumped that into the thing too. But regression analysis, what you do is you say, here's this year's results, here's what last year did. And you get then the computer, through the mathematical technique, the algorithm says this predicted that.
And so you wanted kids to have laptops.
So at the end of the day, I knew that computers were incredibly powerful, getting more powerful, getting faster, getting smaller. I mean, they work, Einstein said, the quantum world is spooky because it doesn't follow the law of physics. Now, you may say, how can Paul say anything like that? But boom, 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 and people, it's the technology is so scary in terms of what they're going to be able to do with computers. I follow it because I run my own financial portfolio, and I use a lot of tech, and I see what the companies are doing. And the big companies are at war right now in cloud computing. Amazon, Microsoft, Google, they're all fighting, Cisco, they're all fighting over cloud technology and what it means in handling big data. I've got two children, both of them are just studying computer science. But I was with computers from the 50s on. 8-8 used to publish my forecasts because they liked them and they worked. I mean, it was who's going to be first place, second place, third place was very good. The exact rating was another problem. So I saw technology as a critical element in educating kids. So we have created a two-path curriculum. And I'm taking a lot of credit for this, you know, by the way, because you can't, I insisted when I first got there, and I said to Moss, you got a five-year plan, but it's not very good. And I looked at the figures, and I said, you look at these figures, the forecasts don't make any sense. So they fixed the five-year plan. I said, a year, it took about a year and a half. I said, well, you got your five-year plan. Are you happy? I said, no, I want 10 years.
A five-year plan on what? On
a five-year plan that...
Construction? Student enrollment?
A five-year... It's based fundamentally on enrollment, because the rule of thumb that they go by is 20 kids to a classroom. And what's your rate of growth? And that comes critical to the number of buildings you have. When I arrived, Bluffton was overcrowded. We had to, we couldn't get the ninth grade into high school. So we took the two middle schools and they made them both 6, 7, and 8. Or was it 7, 8, 9? But anyway, the ninth was probably 7, 8, 9 because it was 5, 6.
Yeah, I think they split them into
6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, one of them took in the ninth graders. Yeah.
So they stuffed the ninth graders right in there and slammed the doors and they fit. But he built two schools. He came in about July of 2013. He saw the situation and laid out a growth plan so that 3 years later, by August of 2016, this year, we built and opened two schools on time, on schedule. That's the Riverhead grade school, which is the first K-8 grade school in the county. And then the Mayberry High School on top of that. And there was a lot of resistance to the second high school. The public was dead against it. And why? Really important reason. They only wanted one football team.
That's right.
Oh, that's mine.
you're in New York.
I put this on for the hurricane. Excuse me. That's my daughter. I wish me a happy birthday.
Oh,
today.
Is it your birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, sir.
Well, I'm going to be 84.
84.
You're just a kid. And I'm going for the oldest board member in the state if I can. I don't
What is that?
I don't know.
What is it?
Well, I don't know. But I suspect these people, they're elected for life almost. You know, Laura Bush, 25 years. Earl Campbell, you know, I mean, he's an institution there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never inferred that Earl Campbell was disrespected. But your paper said I did. Earl and I are, I would say, on such good terms that he recommended that I run for the state board because he figured he'd never get on it anyway. And there's that resume, a damn good resume. And he wanted me to run for the state board because we had no representation. They divide the state into districts, and we're District 2. And we have three of the counties with the corridor of shame, Colleton, Hampton, Jasper. They each have a vote each, and we had four. So we had seven for that district. So we said, hey, seven, we should get it. We found out that that Colleton was the eighth district with eight votes, and it's part of Charleston. So we're locked out forever.
I'd like to talk to you about that later.
It's,
I didn't know about that.
Who said it? Rigged. It's rigged.
Well, what have you learned in these 4 years? What do you want to do? Why do you want to?
It's what I've learned.
Learned to do what?
Well, I could put on my glasses. This is what we've done, okay? To say it in short, we have put in place all the innovative programs that we can stand. There's too much. There's a lot on our plate. But that's the foundation that we need to build to do better. You can't just keep dumping new ideas into a system and get everybody up to speed. But what we've done is we've got 2,300 students signed up for the new countywide school choice program. That's brand new, oversubscribed. Matter of fact, we had a real problem because in some schools we went beyond capacity. Now, capacity in the school system is different from, you understand that capacity, 100% of capacity is like 85% of filled seats. We don't count capacity to the last seat. Because what do you do with the next kid? If we guarantee that every kid, if you start middle school with a school choice, you're guaranteed that you will have that choice all the way through till you graduate. So you have to have the flexibility of moving kids around if necessary to specialize in those 2,300 kids in school choice. Every student, K through 12, has a tablet. Every student. We bought 15,000 tablets from Dell. 15,000. Just the mere fact of them arriving and giving them out. And we had another 3,000 that we had from Apple, which turned out to be, the apps in it were low grade, okay? So when the computers arrive, Bill decided he'll save money and give the board the old computers. And the kids would get the new computers. I said, Bill, that's a bad idea. I mean, we should be working with the same computers the kids are working with. This is where a manager goes wrong and loses perspective. When you got 15,000 computers, you don't say 11 more is too much. And this is what I call the start of the train wreck.
The train wreck. Tell me about it.
The train wreck is what you call nepotism. The train wreck was a series of bureaucratic mistakes, which in a school system is very easy to do. I mean, you have to have discipline. You got 22,000 kids with raging hormones. The superintendent has 33 schools. On the organization chart, all those schools are a direct report to him. Well, that's impossible. Can't be done. That's why we have the staff, the curriculum, student services, the technology, because these are the people that, working with Moss, develop the policies. And Moss goes to all the schools, and the teachers understand that those are the rules that were put together by his experts for the curriculum. And the curriculums are very specifically defined by grade. I mean, it's all nailed down. No exceptions. And that's the only way you could run a system like that.
So what was the train wreck?
The train wreck was I want to be careful what I'm saying here, but because I don't like to use names, but the question of the superintendent hiring his wife came up in a room where only two people were present. And one of those persons thought they were in charge of the board and said, okay. And the other person said, well, okay, that's great. Because that person had been approved for hiring already by, we have a hiring committee. The superintendent doesn't sit at every hire. He has four people of staff that interview and make decisions. So Moss insisted that, okay, that's great, because it was the other person's opinion that this was done all the time all over the state. A lot of nepotism. And I said, as I said before, I came up with the advertising business. In the advertising business, everybody's a chief. There are no Indians. You know, it's very, very competitive. And you don't want anybody's son. You really don't, because the people would walk out the door. So there's no nepotism in advertising. On the other hand, when I went into the entertainment business and moved to Hollywood, because I expanded our services to the motion picture industry, because a lot of them came out of advertising, nepotism is required. That's why you see a lot of famous actors had fathers that were actors. Every picture that's made is the director puts the team together. The producer represents the studio, represents the money, and keeps an eye on things, but it's the director who is in charge and responsible for everything. It's an incredibly important job. I followed that same formula when I did the Main Street Youth Theater. The director, we had a budget of $30,000 to put on a show. No school has a budget of $30,000 to put on a show. We put on a good show, and we ran it for 8 years and never lost money.
And so when Bill says that every board member was asked if they had a problem with the hire, and they said they didn't have a problem. Is that accurate?
He spoke for the board. But Boss said, let's advise the board. And so he came in, and they said, we fired our wife, and he wanted the board to know if there were any objections, because he just didn't want to leave it to Bill. And nobody objected. I said, uh-oh. In my head, I said, uh-oh. But uh-oh. But
were you aware that state ethics law bans public officials from using their position for the benefit, financial benefit of family members? Immediate family members? Were you aware of that? Were other board members aware of that?
Are you a lawyer?
I am not.
Neither am I. But I don't. We have regulations. There are regulations about nepotism, but that didn't exclude the superintendent hiring his wife. And they said he rewrote the rules. We have two sets of rules. One are called the administrative rules, and that's the superintendent. He lays out in great detail what everything that's that is, what the authority of everybody is in the organization and what the responsibilities are. That's his rules. And the board has their rules. We have our rules. And so the superintendent changed the nepotism rule to match our rule. But that was the only change. He just said, well, the board has a rule. That's the rule. That's the rule. I can tell you that the rule does not prohibit him from doing it. Is it a bad idea? Yeah, it was probably a bad idea. But it allowed him to do it. And by the way, this board doesn't follow the rules. They have rules, and they have administrative rules, and they censored me, okay, as you're all aware. And the Attorney General of the state said, there are no laws regarding school deliberative bodies of accomplishment, be it carpentry, be it welding, be it policemen, firemen. And we work with TCL. They can, while they're in high school, can actually get course credits, college course credit when they graduate. They go right into TCL. Free. They have a 2.0 grade average. We pay the tuition.
Well, Dr. Roth, we're about done with our 30 minutes. I wonder if there's something that we haven't talked about that you wanted to bring up.
Buffett and Hilton Head, recognized by Forbes as two of the best schools in the state. Beaufort County has expanded its development program, its teaching staff, For the eighth consecutive year, BC has received National Distinguished Government Award. The superintendent keys, this is something that I really have a bone to pick with you guys. The superintendent rode out the hurricane in the headquarters with his staff, never left, made sure that the high school gyms were available for shelters. Yes, he did. And yes, he sent 20 buses to the Marines to get them out of there. Not a word in the packet, not a word. All you guys got around to saying was people were complaining about missed hours and how they were gonna handle. Now, I would say that the school district did its job and worked with the emergency people and excelled. And I was very upset that the packet said never said anything about it in your reportage. You know, I know what's going on. And I've been here 20 years, and I've seen the packet going on and on about the school system, and they were right. I wouldn't send my kids to that school system. You know, I raised two children here. My daughter did go to Hilton Head Island High for her last 2 years, but by that time things were getting better. Now we're getting people back from the private schools. And fortunately, we have two Catholic schools that relieve, you know, some of the student body requirements. But our projection is 300 students a year for the next 10 years. That's 3,000 kids. I can tell you right now, this year we're over 300 now, by the 45th day. Now, 300 divided by 20 is 15 classrooms. And so it goes. Now, I said to myself, with all this computer stuff, why can't we get more efficient and get the job done with 30 kids in a classroom? Not a chance.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to close it up.
Teachers won't put up with it.
Yeah.